Episode number 21. We've reached our milestone. It is Low Standards and Pours podcast. Welcome, everybody, to all of our followers. It is Sunday, August 2nd, 9 o'clock, Detroit Rock City time. Got a little bit of the church kicking in the background. Some of the reasons why we started this podcast has to do with the church and the concert we saw. And you've probably heard us talk about that before. But anyways, it's a beautiful night in Detroit. And I will be your host tonight, Eric. And we're going to be talking about some fun stuff. We're going to be talking about well, maybe throwing some parties and getting lucky. I think Bill might be a part of that. Bill?
I'd be happy to be a part of that. You hear me okay?
Yeah. I think you threw some parties back in your day, maybe gotten lucky once or twice.
I've thrown some parties back in my day, and we don't talk about the getting lucky part now that I'm a happily married man for 26 and a half years.
Good for you. Good for you. Has it been that long? 26 long years?
Yeah. Really? Well, actually, I think it's going to be 26. What is it, 2020?
Yeah. My longest relationship was 3.5.
That's
I'm not really sure what I'm trying to prove, but
yeah, I don't know.
That's all I got.
So I got a question for you, Eric.
Yeah, let it rip, Tear Chip.
Islamic fundamentalist sex dolls, do they blow themselves up?
Oh, geez. Yeah, you know what? I think they can. I think they can. Good point. Do you come up with these on your own, or do you read these? Where do you get these from?
I listen to a lot of comedy. Some things are direct quotes from guys that are just freaking hilarious. Some things are things that somebody said something, and it made me think of something else, and then I come up with something completely unique. You know, like the one I've been saying forever is, you know, there's two things in a million billion years I'll never, ever, ever do. And that's exaggerate or contradict myself. Well, I might tell
you. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been saying that forever.
Right, right. That kind of goes along. It's kind of your staple.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we had such a good time before talking to Willie about, you know, you and your college days, and I figured, you know, let's just keep it light. Didn't have much to talk about tonight.
Right.
I did notice I was reading on a news channel that Seattle was talking about pretty much defunding their police department and possibly turning it over to the citizens. Did you read anything about that?
I have not read anything about that. I'm sort of waiting for who's really going to decide to do what when before I really decide what I like on this. Because, you know, I understand that, you know, the phrase defund the police is very ambiguous at best.
Sure.
There are things that the police don't need money for. There are things that the police do need money for. There are things the police shouldn't be doing that they are doing. And there are things that maybe they could do that they're not doing. Somebody needs to sit down and figure out what the slip and slurp is going on.
Would you risk your life every day to work for the Detroit Police Department for $40,000 a year?
I would not do it for Detroit.
No?
Because I don't live there. And I think, I think that some of it, you know, and that was a while ago that police departments stopped saying you need to live in the city that you are policing. And I think that might be something to say is, you know, to say that you got to live in the city that you're employed by.
Well, I think their enrollment was down. Detroit was in the skids. You couldn't live anywhere to feel safe, you know.
And I get that. But I'm just saying the principle of defending the city that you live in and policing the city that you live in, knowing that you might run into these people at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Whatever. That I think helps rein people in a little bit. And again, I'm not a cop. I've never been a cop. I have cop friends, and I hear all sorts of different stories about all sorts of different things. But it seems to me that that would be a logical starting point.
It just seems like our media is controlling all this. This is crazy. I just can't believe that what these people are talking about abolishing police departments and defunding them and turn it over
Is it abolishing them or is it changing how they're working? And again, I don't know the answer to that. I'm asking the question, and it sounds to me like the media is blowing it out of proportion, and people are saying they want to do one thing, but they don't realize what they're really saying. And nobody's standing up and saying, you know what, this is really what should be done, or at least here's a proposal.
My buddy Jeff says Jeff's on the front line, and he goes, I'll tell you something. He goes, everybody that we go out and see, it's 90% the same people. It's the same people that can't help themselves, the same people that can't, they're creating the same problems, the same people are shooting the same guns, same people are moving the same drugs. It's all the same people, and you have to pick through these people to get and to clean some of the stuff up. But, you know, it's like these guys go out and risk their lives for $45,000 a year to do this stuff, and there's no thanks, there's no nothing. But it just seems like the media is taking over, and they're taking one incident and making it look like it's nationwide, like it happens nationwide. It just seems like it's crazy. I don't know. It's some of the shit that's going on today. I don't know. It just seems nuts. I'm like, I'm moving to Canada. Seriously.
No, you're not.
I am. I'm moving to Canada. You're coming with.
I'm not leaving. Are you kidding me? Fuck Boston.
Yeah.
Do whatever you guys do whatever the hell you want. I'm not leaving.
I love where I live. I love Detroit. I love everything that's been a part of it. I love the comeback. But what's going on? I just can't imagine a city turning over their I don't even know. I don't even want to talk about it. It scares me so much. You know, it's like all these protesters and stuff. You get out there and you risk your life and can try to control drugs and get shot at every day and do all the stuff that these police officers do. It's nuts. It's nuts.
You know, and like I said, I'm withholding judgment until someone actually comes up with an idea that makes sense. And actually,
I think National Guard coming in. Seriously.
Whatever.
You remember how bad Detroit was, right? When I moved to Baltimore, I lived on one of the main drags down there where it was in the inner city. Or inner, whatever it was. It was right down the heart of Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I'd go out.
Harbor area.
Yeah, exactly, the harbor area there. And I'd go out by myself because I was in a new job. I didn't know anybody, much like you did when you were traveling around. And I had a bunch of Detroit stuff on. And what I didn't realize is that how people are so enamored about Detroit. They want to ask so many questions about people that are from Detroit. It's like, is it as bad as they said it is? You ever been shot at, or you ever, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's pretty serious. But back in the day, it was. I mean, you went to Detroit to go to Mexican Village or maybe Greek Town or go see a baseball game or something. But that's really about it. There's no other reason
to hell out.
Yeah.
You go in, you do your thing, and get out.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of, you know, and I don't know. I don't. I can go on. I mean, maybe this is a topic for another time, but.
It is, and quite frankly,
I just think I don't know. I'm not even sure what I think yet.
Well, like I said, wouldn't hurt to withhold judgment until you actually get all the facts together and somebody actually puts it together and reasonable. Yeah, you know, then you're not jumping the gun and making stuff up and, you know, acting like we normally do on our show, making stuff up.
Yeah, we're going to go around and beat everybody with rubber bats and shoot, like, fart pellets at them or something. I don't know. What do? You turn it over to the citizens. You know, well, when somebody's got a gun or you're doing a drug, you know, whatever. What do you do?
Well, I think fart pellets is the first thing you do.
The fart pellets will get them every single time.
First thing, you get the good fart pellets, man.
Yeah, fart pellets are deadly.
What's up, nonsense? Needs to be invested in. Hey, yeah, I see nonsense. Just promoted the snot out of us.
Hey, nonsense.
I can't even speak English.
It's our mentor.
I'll tell you what's happening. Eric thinks he's going to talk about parties tonight.
Well, I wanted to keep it light this way when we go back to you, when we go back to flat earth stuff or how Jesus flew in a whatever.
I got to say this, though. I actually kind of touched and listened to a couple of things from the last show, and I realized that whenever I'm speaking, there's crickets.
Crickets?
Yeah, like for real life.
Well, you have a definite way of controlling the conversation.
Well, sure.
Is that what you're getting at?
No, Willie, we're not. No, I just as so much as, you know, I say something semi goofy and then it's crickets. And then I'm listening to it and there's actual crickets in the background.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know what? You can hear your crickets. Yeah. When you're sitting out in the garage, you can hear your crickets.
I'm out in the backyard, man. And all right, this is the easiest way to not have the kids and the animals barking and stuff.
Here's a $10,000 question. Did you watch Eraserhead?
No, I didn't watch Eraserhead.
You didn't watch it, did you? Willie, did you watch it? Tell me you watched it. I didn't watch it, but I want you to watch it.
Well, you've seen it before.
I was disturbed. I'm still disturbed. It changed my life.
I saw it, most of it, I think, at one point, sometime in college.
You see what he wrote?
Yeah, I saw what he wrote.
Yes, you bastard. I told you it was freak nasty. Freak nasty. Willie, you know.
You're a trooper, Willie.
No, you liked it. He liked it. Yeah, he's talking about Hannibal's movies, and I'm like, this is nothing like Hannibal. This will change your life. Hopefully you weren't drinking or nothing.
Well, you have to in order to be able to tolerate that movie.
Yeah, you can't get loaded and watch Eraserhead or smoke grass. Or the last thing you want to do is do any kind of mushrooms or anything. That might just really fuck you up.
Well, that's probably how I watched it the last time.
Yeah, you were on shrooms and fucking put in Eraserhead, and here you are today.
We watched I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
Oh.
In college. Which is, it's like a black version of any Leslie Nielsen type movie.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's sight gags and over exaggeration of silliness. And it was hilarious when I watched it sober. But when I watched it not sober, it was, holy cow, that's real. Look at, you know, and it totally wigged me out. So I'm not allowed to do that anymore, ever.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, Nonsense knows I'm going to get you, sucker.
Yeah, I think he's up with that.
Yeah, I'm down with you being up. I'm up and down. I haven't seen it in 30 years, so.
Me and Fuckballs have watched Superbad like maybe 10 times. McLovin.
Oh, yeah. McLovin.
You ever watch Superbad?
I've tolerated parts of it. I really have a hard time, especially these days, watching stuff where people are so disastrously pitiful. Like, I can't watch Seinfeld. I just can't.
What?
Seinfeld is not funny to me. There's a couple episodes in Seinfeld that are kind of funny and really creative and well-written. But overall, I can sum up every Seinfeld episode in 38 seconds. And you know how it goes? It goes like this. Someone's going to do the stupidest thing possible in the first 2 minutes. Given the opportunity to do the correct thing, they do the absolute worst thing. And then for the next 22 minutes, they make it worse. End of show.
That was my favorite show, Bill.
I'm sorry. It just, you know.
Cheers for a while. I got Seinfeld and then, or if you ask my mom. My mom says Steinfeld. I can't get her off it. She keeps saying Steinfeld
to me. And the other thing is as a stand-up comic, he's amazing. Seinfeld's just great. I love his thought process. I love the way he goes. I just can't stand his show.
Because
everyone's so pitiful there. I was just watching like Rick and Morty or something like that, one of these cartoons that my kids love. And I'm like, this is beyond stupid. I mean, I get where, you know, there's situation comedies and things, but it's gone far too off the deep end for me where people are just, I don't need to watch any more stupid. I see enough of it throughout my life. I would like people to actually be rational and make sense or have a reasonable, real problem and then make that funny.
What was your all-time favorite sitcom? Is it like, I don't even know.
I love Lucy.
Yeah, well, I love Lucy.
I love MASH.
MASH?
Yeah, MASH was great. Because, it, you know, the dichotomy of comedy in the shittiest situation ever and just making light of the crap that's around you. And they also dealt with real life stuff and somehow was able to make it funny. Willie will remember. Yeah, I got to go right after MASH. there was a time we're hanging out with Willie. I don't know, in between one of the 17 times I quit college and I was living at his place. And I'm like, dude, I got to go home. And it's 11:01 and the theme
song. You got to go watch MASH?
No, I just got to get home because it's 11 at night and I need to go home. And then the theme song of MASH would come on. I'm like, all right, right after MASH.
Theme song would drive me nuts.
That's suicide, man.
My favorite's like All in the Family, Archie Bunker and Edith.
That's tolerable. Sanford and Son. Sanford and Son was okay, except that, again, it goes to people
okay.
doing stupid things. Yeah,
it was classic.
It's a classic, all right. But I can't watch it now. Oh. It's just because, you know, Fred's going to do something really stupid. Lamont's going to do something dumber. And then
it's too predictable.
Edith's sister comes in and screws everything up, and it's too predictable.
I didn't know Edith had a sister.
The one... Or not Edith. But, is it not Edith's sister, but
you're talking about
Elizabeth.
Yeah,
Elizabeth's sister.
Died. It was what was her name?
Yeah.
I know you're talking about. Esther. Yeah, Esther, you're right.
Thank
Esther.
You. Edith, Esther, whatever. Edith is all in the family. But we used to love watching those, but I just can't take the really dumb shows. You know, it's like I'm a little, and I'm not trying to be highbrow or anything, but, you know, entertain my brain a little bit. If I want my brain to melt, you know, I can watch Holy Moly.
You are some dumb game show.
I am highbrow. Yeah. Fine. I'm a snob. Next.
Now, a little bit. It's all right. We still love you.
Well, you know, I'm old and opinionated.
You are kind of crusty.
I'm a crusty old fart.
Crusty crab.
I am a crusty crab. So tell me, what was the best party you ever threw, Eric? And when was it?
Mine were historic, Bill. Every single one I had were historic. I was fortunate enough to have a family that put a 36x18 in-ground pool in the backyard with a attached jacuzzi. And it seemed like whether it was a Friday night or Saturday night in the summertime, we'd all get loaded at the bar, and it was a big deal for everybody to nominate my mom and dad's house at about 1 o'clock in the morning to go swimming.
Well,
so
why wouldn't you?
Exactly. So we would go, and I would have literally friends dropping trout before they even got close to the pool, go completely naked and do cannonballs in my mom and dad's pool at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Listen to disco music and sit in the hot tub to like 4 or 5.
Right.
My mom was known to go drop fifths of tequila in the pool while like 8 of us were packed in there. But those will go down in history. Those were
so some of your mom didn't mind you guys being out late and loud all night.
No, that's the way I grew up, you know, we would stumble home and cars would be parked up and down the street. People could hear us. I people would tell me like they'd park 4 or 5 houses down because the whole block was full of people. And they could hear us all in the hot tub, you know, laughing and giggling. And we never, ever got the cops called on us, ever. And my mom and dad had like a 1,500 square foot ranch. Uh-huh. And to the left of them and to the right of them and directly behind them were all colonials. These people,
it was an echo chamber.
Oh yeah. And the lights, the pool lights would be flashing on and off. And it was funny. It's like almost every time that these people would leave, my mom would wake up in the morning and go clean up after our mess. There were underwear in the tree, shoes in the bottom of the pool, and it was back. Remember Zima? Zima yeah. was everywhere. Stacks of Zima. Oh yeah, everywhere.
Even when Zima was trendy, I couldn't tolerate that.
Oh yeah, we all woke up with headaches, and my mom was happy. She'd walk, you know, she'd go to Kroger's and take back, you know, 10, 20 bucks mm-hmm. worth of bottles, you know?
Yeah. And then pay for the chlorine to clean the pool out.
Yeah, they'd have to shock the pool. Yeah, every time we had a party, they'd shock the pool. And then my dad would be like, you know, he's like, son, he goes, you have 15, 20 people over the weekend. And our mom, and you know, both my mom and I really appreciate that. You're making good use out of the pool, and we appreciate that. But, you know, nobody comes in to use the bathroom. I said, well, Dad, I said, I told everybody to pee over in the corner on the fence where it can't be seen, right? But what they were doing, they were peeing in between the arborvitaes. And then by season end, these arborvitaes look like a couple of dried twigs. Yeah, you just pull them out of the ground. Yeah. They kill them. But, I was just telling Kim about this. It's like growing up between I was probably – I think we got our pool in my 19 or 20s, somewhere in there, 19, 20, 21. And
This was pretty after high school.
Yeah. And this is when everybody was going to college and partying and doing all their things. But it's times that I couldn't take back. It's we had a blast. So, but you know, my party days go beyond me throwing parties. But I'm sure you and Willie probably thrown a couple good parties here and there.
I'm sure Willie and I have thrown some good parties too. And
I'm waiting for Willie to dial in, but he's kind of stealth mode.
I was going to tell you about a couple of high school parties because we used to. There's like six or seven of us guys that used to ride bikes all the time, 10 speeds.
Yeah.
Do the Belle Isle Marathon, the 200 miles in 24 hours.
Yeah, my buddies used to do that too. Yep.
Yeah. So we used to do that. And so these same guys were also the ones we'd go to the Grosse Pointe Woods Park, and they had the diving pool area. You know, they had 2 1-meter boards and 2 3-meter boards, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the high dive and low dive. And so we'd go and on a weekday morning at 10 o'clock, stop at the local party store, you know, 16, 17 years old, pick up a half gallon of Bacardi Light rum.
You guys get loaded in the morning?
Well, you got to let me finish.
All right.
We'd pick up Slurpees and a 2-liter Pepsi or Coke or whatever we decided to have that.
Yeah.
But we get, you know, huge gulp Slurpees, Coca-Cola Slurpees, and then you drink it a little bit, and then we pull over to the side of the road and then fill in what we just drank with rum, stir it all up, and we have a rum and Slurpee. All right?
Okay.
And then we go to the pool, and we drink our rum and Slurpees, and, you know, practice a little bit diving on the diving board, and then, you know.
That's right. You were a swimmer.
One of my buddies.
I keep forgetting about that.
One of my buddies had this really big boom box back in the day. We used to put cassette tapes in the boom box, or we'd put on WLVS, the radio station, and just listen to jam music really loud at the diving pool at 10, 11 in the morning.
And was it a mixtape, or was it just put in like?
Oh, it was absolutely a mixtape.
Did you guys play like Diver Down when you guys were diving, or?
No, it was nothing, never thematic. It was always, you know, what's the latest cool tunes that we liked. So we'd do something like that. And then by like noon or 1 o'clock, we're hammered. And it becomes, all right, well, what new dive can we learn how to do?
So you guys were diving like loaded.
Oh,
I can't even wait the pool loaded. I get nervous.
That's how I learned how to do a whole bunch of different dives so that I could be on the diving team when I was a junior.
Like the triple Lindy?
No. You don't go board to board. Never go board to board.
I'm sure you accomplished the triple Lindy.
No, but I still probably about 3 or 4 years ago I still could do a reverse off the high dive, where you know where you walk up and you bounce and you flip your legs up forward over your head. Instead of a flip where you bounce and flip forward, this is a reverse where your legs go forward and come back around. And when I come back around, by the time I get to the water, I do a can opener and I can shoot the water right at the lifeguard. I can do that. I can do that in my sleep. The muscle memory for that is ridiculous. But we used to that. We do that 4 or 5 days a week. We didn't have nothing else to do. And then, you know, by like, 6 o'clock, I'd have to go wash dishes at the restaurant that I worked at. You know, and by that time, I'm hungover. So what's it matter?
Yeah, I was going to say. I guess that redefines liquid courage, eh?
Liquid courage for sure, man. and, you know, if you try a 2.5 and you land on your face, it only hurts for a minute. Only hurts for a minute.
It stings for a little while. That's it.
It stings for a minute, and then it goes away, and you're like, oh, I need another Slurpee. And then you're good. And it's, all right, let's try it again. You know, I got a Slurpee story for you. As a kid, I could do a two and a half.
I have a Slurpee story for you. I'll probably get me in trouble. I'll probably land me in jail. I'll tell it to you really quick. And there was no rhyme or reason because we just did it because we knew we'd get away with it. But so there was a party store down the street from us, and me and my buddies would ride our bikes down there, and would go in and would get a grape Slurpee.
Right.
But right next door to the grape Slurpees were the mirrored sunglasses. So we would pour our Slurpees, and when the guy wasn't looking behind the register, we would drop our mirrored sunglasses into the Slurpee, put a cap on it, and put the straw in it. And we did that like 20 times each. So we had like 40 pairs of mirrored glasses that we didn't know what to do with. But we thought it was really cool. But
oh, man. And of course, he's going, I don't remember selling all these.
You're right. That'd probably come back to haunt me, but I figured I'd tell somebody.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyways, what's going on, Willie?
Nothing, man.
He's just sitting back there laughing.
Yeah, like, Jesus. You guys are kind of fucked up.
Willie, did you ever go to some of the parties on that wealthy street where I lived with those six guys?
I'm on cocktail duty, so I'll be back in a minute.
You were at some of those parties, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, we'd have to break up the party, and I'd play the Yam Jam, and everybody would leave, and then we'd all end up at the tunnel, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I couldn't remember if you were there, because that was when I was a sophomore, or maybe my first semester junior year, and that would have put you as a freshman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where okay, I vaguely remember none of that.
Well, you had to pregame. Nobody had any money, so you'd pregame at home, and then you'd go to.
Right.
Like, we'd get to the tunnel, like, almost last call sometimes.
Oh, yeah, easily. And, didn't we talk already about some of the times we scamper across the street when I lived above Yesterdog?
Absolutely.
And take all the booze away from Smitty's and show them and say, put that on our tab thing.
Absolutely.
Those are the light bulb cap parties. Oh, man. There were just days where, like, the sun would come up and you go, wait a minute. I haven't gone to bed yet.
You're right.
Willie, did you have any parties at your mom and dad's or your house, whatever?
No.
They were just, like, out of control?
No.
Like,
no.
No?
Nope. Mm-mm. Been to plenty, though.
All right. Without seeing people's names, who were the big party throwers in your group? I know who was – I kind of know who you hung out with a little bit, but who were the big party throwers? Can you tell me that or no?
Stosh had blowouts.
Absolute, really?
Absolute blowouts.
No shit. Stosh wouldn't be one of my – ones that I think of, like – Schwartz or West or one of those guys, I might think, but
West had some good ones, and then Sully had some epic parties.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hang out with you guys back then. I didn't get to really know you guys until after college, but I mean, I knew you guys obviously in high school, but didn't hang out with the same crowd. But
Yeah, so Stout, like I knew a lot of people, but it, you kind of you gravitate to the guys that you want, you know, that you knew before.
Right, right. Because
we're already friends, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like regional.
Yeah, yeah. So how many people would show up at Stash's house? Were they after hockey games or after football games? Or?
Yeah, we. One of them was so massive that me and somebody else. He was a twin, a big guy, and
the Hanson guys or no?
No, no, no. It was this was after that, and you know we'd have to. You know, he was like, "You got to turn people away because this is going to get crazy." So
yeah.
You know, that's what we did, and it, which is tough to do because, you know, you're friends with so many people, but, you know, it's like, it just, you know, you don't want to get the cops called on you. And,
right, right.
So, yeah, and then into college and whatnot, and then afterwards, Thanksgiving, you know, the night before Thanksgiving, and then New Year's Eve.
Right, right.
They were just... absolutely nuts. I don't even know if I could tell some of these. I'd have to probably tell them in person.
You probably we don't want to implicate any.
Yeah.
I mean, I can speak generally enough about the. There was a couple of Grosse Pointe parties with some people that I hung out with, and one of the parties ended up in this girl's parents' house pool, and I didn't have a bathing suit, so I borrowed my buddy's football jersey and I tied it on like a diaper and jumped in the pool. Nice. And then the cops got called and I ran away ass naked and found my clothes later.
Yeah.
It was funny. But I mean, you know,
did you drive home with a hockey jersey on or the football jersey on?
No. That the football jersey stayed in the pool. I hopped out naked. Grabbed my clothes on the way. You know, found them wherever I had dropped them and hopped the fence and then started putting clothes on after I got over the fence.
Well, good for you.
That was high school. That's smart, you know, thinking. When we had energy and we could run. And, you know, what cop's going to want to grab the naked kid?
Right.
No. He's not the naked boy.
It's like, right. It's like when you see a really big fight about to happen and you're going to be having to swing, just start taking all your clothes off. They're not going to fight the naked guy.
This is true.
And if you stand there butt naked and come on, bring it. They're going to go, that dude is crazy. I don't want to touch him. And then they shoot you, but that's okay.
In your high school days, were you guys allowed like crisscross between schools and go to parties? In other words, if you had to, wherever you grew up, could you go to another like area and be accepted into their party, not get into a fight?
Oh, yeah, because I went to the Catholic school because, you know, we know how to party. But, you know, the both the public schools in the area, high schools in the area, I knew people in all those places because I went to, you know, grade school with some of them or met them at, you know, driver's training or different stuff. And, oh, yeah, that guy's cool. And then, hey, you're having a party? Sure, all right. And we end up – a lot of people know the same people. And some of the girls from the Catholic schools that we knew also knew some of these guys, and you know, it everybody knew everybody, so it was no big deal. It's like,
yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we go to like a bunch of Franklin parties or Stevenson parties and we get run out of there because people wanted to kick our ass all the time because we were Catholic Central boys? A little bit. Did you ever get run out of parties? Like Franklin parties, we were never invited to. Like if you try to go crash a Franklin party, like there's automatically gonna be a fight going on.
Yeah, I didn't go to any of those. I had been to a few for other places, but it was like Bill saying with, you know, you grow up with people and they go to a different school, and then you know sometimes they'd invite you like, hey, come on over, we're doing this, and you show up with a few friends, and they're like, how many friends did you bring? five.
Five more coming.
30.
And, 37. But, you know, not for the most part, not really. I mean, a couple times here and there, but nothing. you know, it was all pretty, it's all pretty enclosed.
When I was a freshman, a lot of my friends that I knew that were, they were juniors and seniors at Catholic Central. So don't when they got in college,
don't dox us, man.
Yeah, sorry. But when I was a sophomore and junior, I was going to state parties and U of M parties because everybody that I knew were already in college. So I stopped going to like all the parties, all the high school parties, junior and senior year. I was out at state and out at U of M and stuff, going to their parties, and I didn't really keep up with what was going on with what was going on at our school. But
so I remember going to a U of M frat party. That was, it's one of those where they invite the sorority and only the frat guys and only that sorority can show up at this party.
Yeah, I was at a, yeah, I was at like,
I was spending the night at the weekend with my buddy who was the president of the frat, and he's like, dude, you're not supposed to be here, but we're going to tell everybody you're from the Denver chapter. And
that's the same thing we did.
You know, that's and, what. And it's
that
like,
was the, that was the go-to thing, and they'd show you the handshake or the word, you know, tell you the word or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, you can use this. This is your temporary, you know, but you got to, and I've forgotten it, I think, that very night. But this funny thing about it was, is this was a Halloween party, right? I didn't have a Halloween costume, but we had sheets, and I had a banister, like a banister pole. So I'm like, all right, well, the Jewish sorority is coming over, so I'm going to be Moses. I had a beard already.
Moses?
So I put the sheet on, and I had sandals, and I walked around with the staff like it was Moses. And it was hilarious. And then every once in a while, you know, just to be a dick, the girl would turn around and start talking to the other guy, and I would take the banister that I was using for my, you know, the staff of Moses.
Easy.
Stick it on my shoulders, drape my arms over it, and turn my head. Like, thanks a lot, lady. And it was just enough to the people behind me. Well, I had one guy on the floor because the girl was giving me a hard time about something. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, well, screw you. And I put my – I did the little thing with the arms and the head nod. And he just – he spit his beer on her. Because he laughed so hard, complete spit take, and then I, of course, dropped the cane thing right away, and I was like, "What's going on?" You know, pretended to be innocent, but it was just the funniest thing ever. I'm like, "All right, well, that's what you get, young lady, for being such a little weasel. You get to wear his beer that was already in his mouth."
That's funny.
Yeah, but yeah, I love the you're from the Denver chapter, so you've done that before too, Willie.
Oh, yeah, when we went up the state.
Yeah. Is it always the Denver chapter, or is it just any?
It was – we didn't use Denver, but it was just, you know.
All right. I didn't know if that was like
– you're this or that. You're this or that, or, you know, or you'd use somebody's name that, you know, you knew they weren't going to be there. And,
oh, right, yeah.
pray to God that nobody – the guy at the door didn't know who that was. And one time
– I was already in the house. I wasn't – going out to come back in. I was already in the house. The guys all knew who I was. It's they didn't want the girls to know that I wasn't supposed to be there.
Well, you had the in. We had to get through the you know, the elder statesman of the house, and that was that was kind of terrifying. But they'd have these mass. I mean, they'd have these freaking huge bands. And, you know, and you got a cup. It wasn't a solo cup. It was a, you know, a hard plastic cup with the fraternity logo on it, with the, you know, they had a reggae band with a little reggae dude on it. It was like this freaking serious
party. These guys weren't messing around.
No. But crazy though, that I could never. I'm glad I didn't do all that. That's nuts.
Know, going to a tiny Catholic college was good enough for me. Was it a Catholic college even, or was it just a
Why'd you guys pick your college out there? Was there a reason what's the reason you're buying the college you picked?
Willie, I'd really like to hear why you picked the college you picked, because I picked the same college, and I'm sure my reason's completely different.
They let me in.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, mine's not that far off.
Hey, Willie, was the reason why you didn't go to State or U of M or?
I would have died at State.
Yeah, I think I would too. I was going to go to State, and I ended up going to Eastern, but
just too dumb.
Yeah.
So, Willie, as a junior, I went on a tour of our particular college, which will remain nameless. But the tour guide, Chickie, was like a junior or a senior in college. She was a junior because I saw her when I went back up there as a senior to revisit. Oh, well, let's just say she sealed the deal. Yeah. She that's sealed the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, all right. I really like this college. I love the landscape. I love the smallness of it and everything like that. And oh wait, naked women? I'm all over this. So, there's that. And kids, if you hear this, 10 years after I'm deceased, that never happened.
Right. Odd story.
Yeah, and I can't remember that chickie's name, but it just became one of those, oh my gosh. Well, now I have to go here. This is going to be fun. And, it was fun.
Well, let me ask you guys, when you guys were going to the school you guys went to, I kind of know where it's at, but I won't mention any names. Did you guys have, good outlets for, music and stuff and bands and all that going on?
Absolutely.
Did you?
Where did we go to see a live band?
I spent a lot of time out in Ann Arbor, and we went to Wazoo and School Kids Records and all these different places that just had CDs and records, and me and my friend Brennan would spend all day there flipping through, buying punk music and all the new alternative music, and it was a really big to do for me when I was a kid, because I was 17, spending all my time out in Ann Arbor buying records and going to these parties and stuff. I'd get there at noon on a Saturday, would buy 2, 3, 4 records a piece or CDs or whatever. And then at night, we'd go to the parties and play all these records. And, it's when we listened to, Joy Division and Cure and Replacements and Pixies. And, it was a big, big deal, I mean, it's stuff that I can never give up, It was good times in my life. Did you guys have it out in your area?
There was a couple of places, right, Willie?
Yeah, and then we, there was a band that always came on campus that would go around.
I don't remember those guys.
My Dog Bob.
Okay. I'm drawing a blank, but that's not unusual. Thursday will come around and go, oh yeah, I remember those guys. But today's not Thursday.
It was few, it was few and far between, but there was, and then you could go to a local place that provided.
It was open mic night, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
Well, how'd you guys get to DJing? You guys are both DJs, and I keep forgetting about that. But how'd you guys both get to DJing?
Was it through college?
Kind of fell into it, or what?
Well, I from having my college experiences with Bill, I was. Into it, although I didn't, he was into it first. And then I kind of fell into it at a place at home, where I kept asking the guy to, I'm like, hey, can you play this? And he's like, yeah, that's good. And then I keep bothering him. And after a while, he's like, I can't do this all the time. It's just on the weekends. He's like, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay. I remember I used to bump into you every once in a while over in the same place we're talking about.
Yeah, and it was fun. I don't know what people thought, but I'd start off kind of slow, and I kind of, I'd blend in sort of genres, and sometimes my manager would be like, put some Motown on, for God's sakes. So I'd play a half hour of Motown,
Hey,
you got to make everybody happy a little bit. Because we started doing it just for parties, me and a couple guys from that one house. And it was easy for me because I had, 300 CDs and then a pile of records. And then another guy, You remember John, him and his twin sister?
No.
I'm not going to say last names today.
No, I don't.
He and I first started just spinning records for a couple of different parties, and then a couple other guys joined in, and then we had like four different guys worth of equipment. We could run two or three parties at a time. And, you know, and it was crazy. And we did that for like one semester, and I was like, this is too much. And then everybody's, you know, people's stuff started getting mixed up with each other. And like, we can't do that because, you know, I'm a terror when it comes to my CDs. You got to put them all back in the room. It's horrible. I'm just, I realize I have an issue when it comes to, CD, when it comes to music. But, so, you know, I got that. And then me and Dave, not you, Willie Dave, but a different guy, Dave, bartender from the Mulligans,
mm-hmm.
and I started doing the intersection for open mic night. And he was doing open mic night, and he's like, I need somebody to come in and spin records in between. I'm like, I'll do that. And by the way, I know how to set up bands. He's like, excellent, let's all do that. And so, you know, I'd be spinning records, and he'd be setting up the bands, and then we'd start working. It just turned into this whole thing, and then open mic night became really big over there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was always something going on. Even when the bands weren't playing, there was music happening. And there's some fun stuff going on. And it was always a good time. And that's how it happened there, Eric. Are you happy?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, I want to hear everybody's story, you know? I've got great stories. There's nothing I regret. I regret probably not spending more time with the people that I was going to school with. Junior and senior year, but I was out having a great time with my friends that were 2-3 years older than me at State and at U of M. But I was also, you know, when you're, see, it back in the day, it was, you can get into bars in Ann Arbor when you're 19. So we were always scratching down like fake stamps and stuff and, you know, trying to figure out ways in and stuff like that. But, you know, I was just telling Kim that, you know, I would never take away the times of between probably 16 and 35 of my life because of what I did. You know, it's went to a ton of concerts, went to a ton of parties, threw a ton of parties, went to a good school, not a great school, but went to a good school and had great friends and great experiences. But, you know, some people can experience that and,
mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
So how do we sum this up? Go live your life. Go have some fun. Don't get too stupid. But enjoy yourself out there, right?
You know? Yeah, you don't make you happy.
Go experience something.
Well, life is for the living. You gotta get out of that stuff.
Exactly.
Go out there and stub your toe. Otherwise, you don't know what it feels like to have a good toe.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it goes back to pizza or salad. You know? I mean, you live your life you know, eating pizza and smoking and drinking and, you know, whatever. Or do you want to not go to parties and eat salad and, you know, eat whatever organic food and not have any fun? I don't know. What's the big question? What's the answer to all that? Who knows?
It's a mixture.
You have a couple of pieces. I know a lot of pizza, a little bit of salad, and then a gallon of beer, and then you go out and party.
Right. I've known people that drop dead. You know, they've been runners all their life and they're eat organic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They go out for a morning run and they drop dead getting a glass of water from the fridge. And I know we all know people that are smoking drink every day of their life and they live to be 100 years old. It's like, what are you going to do? You know, how do you balance that out in your thoughts?
Lewis Black has a bit where he talks, he's a stand-up comic, he talks about, you know, he saw something. I don't know if you know who Lewis Black is. He's the aggravated old curmudgeon, and he's hilarious. And, you know, just he emphasizes all the things just the right way. And I'll do it no justice, but it's still funny. He talks about the fact that he, you know, saw in the paper that there was a guy that lived to 105 years old. And when they asked him what his secret to longevity was, he told them every week he drinks a gallon of Thunderbird wine. And every other day, he starts his morning with bacon and eggs and fried potatoes. And he said, and his potatoes are fried in back fat. And he goes, and they said, well, why do you fry it in back fat? He goes, because butter is too lean.
Right, right.
And then he goes, and, you know, and he goes, there's more to this. He goes, then, you know, well, that guy is going to live to be 130 unless he goes to his doctor. And his doctor says, what have you been doing? You're eating all right. this crap. You got to go on a fruit and salad diet right away. He'd do that for a week and he'd be dead.
Right.
Shocked his system.
Yeah. You know, hey Willie, I know I've caught you on some different Facebook groups and stuff. Are you and your wife, do you guys, is it you know, purely pretty much organic, or are you guys kind of dabbling both? You guys, you know, what do you guys how do you guys eat your
I wouldn't, you know, there's organic things, but you can't
it's not like he's eating lug nuts every day. That's in right.
No, but really knows
food is organic.
Yeah.
Run your Facebook pages about, you know, being vegan, being vegetarian, eat right, blah, blah, blah. And I see Willie chime in sometimes and make some comments and stuff. You seem pretty educated about it. Do you follow your, I mean, is that the way you typically eat? Is it pretty much vegetarian or vegetarian with?
No, my wife leans pretty close to that.
Yeah.
If I made every meal, which I'm actually not allowed in the kitchen, but
is it that bad?
No, it's just
that's it's a fire hazard problem. Don't worry.
No,
about
right, right. No, it's a turf. It's a turf battle. That's
I got you.
She says that's her area, and
so you eat what she cooks them.
I do, but you know, I could be. You know, I could have a half a plate of veggies and a good hunk of seasoned chicken or some lean ground beef, or even like, you know, two cans of tuna. You know, I could do that every day.
But you don't go to Burger King or McDonald's or.
No, and in the rare instance that I do, I usually don't feel well, because once you kind of once you give that up. It tastes really good for like 5 minutes, and then you're like,
What happened? Can't rear its ugly head.
Yeah, because, you know, I used to juice and all that stuff, and
me too.
And it's fine, but you know, it kind of runs its course.
Yeah,
runs is the key thing. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's kind of a bullet train.
But you can like it, you know, if you eat the leftovers, it's very fibrous, so it doesn't. It kind of counteracts the whole thing. So,
yeah. No, I find it an interesting conversation only because, you know, you got guys that we all know, whether they're in rock bands or people that we know or whatever, that, you know, they live life the way they live life, and they live to be 80, 90 years old and they're happy. But, you know, do you want to, you know, watch what you eat and scrub your vegetables and eat organic and do all these things and maybe die at 60? It's, you know, it's like, who the hell knows? You know, what's
going to be Keith Richards and the Cockroaches.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yep. Yeah. I'm a bit more into supplements, but we can do that another time. But, like when I go to work, I make my little morning, you know, smoothie of, you know, half a chocolate milk and protein shake and some fiber and a bunch of other stuff that I throw in there. And I blend it and, because that's what I like to do. You know, it gives me energy.
Sure.
And that's the bottom line, is it's what you like to do. It's not like you're forcing yourself to have that.
No, it's my routine. I like it. And when I'm on the weekends and stuff, I don't really get to do that, and it kind of throws me off. But, you know, it is what it is. Some mornings in the summer here, I get a couple days ago, I walk into the kitchen and there's a hot dog laying there. I'm like, okay, it's 9 o'clock. I guess I'm going to have a hot dog. Or sometimes there's a plate of pasta. I'm like, I don't want frickin' pasta. But, you know, no, you also have to do with what, you know, what your budget entails. And it's,
is your wife pretty religious about eating well?
Yeah, she loves the saying around here is I never met a vegetable I didn't like. And so
right.
Whether it's peppers or artichokes or asparagus or, you know, kale or spinach. But I like fruits. I like apple and pineapple and
apple day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
And
bananas,
blueberries, blackberries,
you know, and strawberries. Yeah. I know it's all high in sugar, but if you eat it early in the morning, you're, you know, in some smaller doses, you're fine.
Where'd you meet your wife at?
Through a friend.
Okay.
Through a mutual friend.
Mutual acquaintance.
Yep.
Gotcha. Well, where'd you meet your wife at? How'd you meet your wife?
Let me finish the thing with the vegetables real quick for Willie.
Was she a flat earther?
So, in my garden, Willie, I'm growing zucchini and yellow squash this year. And I've pulled out two yellow squash that are longer than my forearm, from my elbow to my pinky finger.
Wow.
And they are fat, like calves.
Nice.
And zucchini the same way. It's the dirt that I put together. Somehow I figured out how to do dirt right way.
It is a thing.
Secret. It's my top secret blend. But I'm growing stuff like huge this year again. Anyway, so what are you asking me, Eric, about my wife?
Yeah. When did you meet your wife?
Met her in.
Were you in college?
March of 92.
Yeah.
March of 92. It might have been March of 93. And we were married in September of 94. So, yeah, it was March of 93.
Oh, it's quick.
I don't remember. We knew each other maybe a year or two. It had to be 92. It had to be 92. Because I met her, I had to wait a year to ask her to marry me, and then we had to figure out how to put the whole wedding shit together. So that was about an area. Yeah, so it would have been 92. But yeah, we met at a bar in Royal Oak.
That's right. Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, I told you this before. Her friend.
What bar was it? The two-level bar?
It's the one they used to have all the concerts at, I think. Right at the corner of Fifth Avenue, on the other side of, I don't even know what the name of the street is. It's not there anymore. It's gone. Right next to what the theater used to be.
I kind of know where you're at. I think so.
Yeah. Well, anyways, her friend, you know, she had just broken up with some jackass, and her friend convinced her to go out again. And my buddy basically bought one of my CDs off of me so I could have beer money because I was broke. And so the two of us, we had a group of friends, she had a group of friends, and it turns out that my buddy that convinced me to go out knew her friend that convinced her to go out. And so those two start talking, and I'm like, this is goofy. So I start talking to her, and she's like, yeah, he's not coming back. He's going to go get a drink, and he's not coming back. And I came back. So apparently, and then, you know, she's like, there's something fun about this guy. I don't know what it is. And 26 years later, she's still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, he's kind of a creep, but I'll stick with him.
Yeah, he's a creep, but he, you know, seems to be able to figure stuff out.
You're kind of infectious, though.
You're kind of infectious.
You are infectious.
Did you see?
You know, when I first met you, I thought you were a cool guy. So you're so cool, guy.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
How's that for you too, Willie?
I'm nowhere as cool as Willie is.
Oh, come on.
Willie's cool and smooth. Cool and smooth.
Yeah, I'm cool and addictive.
You're just kind of cool. That's it.
Yeah, don't lie to me. I'm a jackass. I'm such a dick. I'd be a waste of Viagra. I'd just get taller.
I don't know. All right. It's we're about 59 minutes in.
Yeah.
You guys want to wrap this up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Willie.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing on, I don't know, probably Wednesday.
Okay.
I think our Wednesday, Sunday is going to work. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Wednesday maybe Sunday pretty well.
Maybe I'll get rid of the crickets. I'm going to buy some bug killer stuff and get rid of the crickets.
Yeah, nice nut in the background.
Yeah. It's, nice, it's a nice ambiance. It's okay.
Well, and I don't know if it's an ambiance or if that's typical before, when I start talking.
Us, crickets. Before we hang up,
What?
Willie, what do you think about a racer hat?
I think it's I think that's near 2 hours that I cannot ever get back.
Now, could you compare that to Hannibal at all?
No.
Isn't it
so weird? It's just weird.
Weird, like outrageous. Like you don't know whether to be drinking on it, mushrooms, smoking, sober. It is like the most bizarre thing that you've ever seen in your life.
I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm upset. And I was partially upset with you, but I did it for the show.
It's disturbing. Disturbing.
So what is what your team player?
It was just bad.
What's your take on it? What's your overall? Tell me what your overall take is on the movie.
Acting 2, plot -17. the black and white was cool. The sounds were cool. But it's just I mean, it's David Lynch. What do you expect?
It's bizarre, isn't it, though? Is it not bizarre?
Fucking nobody. Crazy. Nobody. There are no famous actors in that movie.
No, not at all.
I think it killed all their careers.
Right. When I first saw that, I dated this girl, Mary Ellen, and she had the same name as my mom, so that was an issue right there. But she's like, "You ever seen David Lynch's movie of Eraserhead?" And I'm like, "No." So go over and sit and watch it one night. So we sat and watched it one night at my place, and I'm like, "This is the most screwed up thing I've ever seen in my life." Yeah, I'm like,
I think she was trying to get rid of you.
I think she was. we didn't get anymore after that, but
so
I really liked her, but she was into that, and she was into hold on 1 second.
You gotta get him a cough button.
Makes my nose blowing the other week not such a big deal.
Right.
And I'm gonna sneeze here in a second, but there's another one called I'm gonna forget it now. It's I'll remember the next time we talk.
Blue Velvet.
What's the one?
That was
a good one though.
Actually, that was a good
twisted,
one.
But good movie. I'm thinking of one around the same time as all of that crap with one of the guys from PIL, the redhead guy, whose name I can't think of. The band, PIL.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Malcolm McLaren. Malcolm McLaren was in some PIL? He was in some weird movie. I thought it was Malcolm.
Was it? I thought it was Giant Rotten.
In the movie I'm thinking of is Malcolm.
Oh.
No.
It's the one where they drop the baby off the ledge or something like that. Something real twisted. I only watched like 4 minutes of it before I basically said, forget this. But it's a classic, supposedly.
Yeah, some of those, it's because of their artistic context that they get.
Right.
It's like watching the Academy Awards and the winner is, and you're like, no one saw that.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that.
So Willie,
seven people saw it. And they're the ones who voted. Yep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Willie.
Yeah.
Eraser. What do you think?
One.
Really?
Yes. It was horrible.
Yeah. It's a tough movie to get through. It really is. It is tough. That's why I wanted you to watch it. You kept saying Hannibal and Hannibal's Rule, this and that, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, but it's they're two different genres. You got Eraserhead's just weird and bad, and the Hannibal series is entertaining, but it's just psycho. Right. It's a deep psychological meat grinder to get through, because it's there, you know, the psychiatry and obviously the, you know, serial killer and the, just the games they, you know, they're playing back and forth, you know, capture, don't capture, gutting people. It's just an entirely, right. It's an entirely different thing.
Sure. What's so funny there?
It's a completely different thing altogether. It's a completely different thing altogether.
Al Carpe, I think you need to watch Eraserhead one more time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Stop pointing that garbage off on people.
That's it. That's all I have to say about Eraserhead. But it is a pretty fun movie, though. Makes you think.
I don't know. Well, yeah, it makes you think that you made a bad decision to watch it.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy stuff. All right, let's get up. Let's get out of here. It is Sunday, August 2nd, 10:05. Willie, thanks for being a part of our podcast.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Always great having you around, brother.
We'll see you next Wednesday, or this Wednesday.
You got it,
for our next podcast. And Bill will be coming up with all the topics and things to talk about.
Sure. Of course. Yeah.
All right. Well. I'm going to hang up. I'll see you.
Rock on.
All right. See you guys. All right. Bye. Chum in.
Eric, that's been you.
You know, Bill, that has been you.
As far as I know. It's about time to wrap this thing up and you hang up on me.
Yep. It's time to go. And I will talk to you by Wednesday. It's your time to figure out topics. So let's giddy up. Give me some time to think about what you got to do.
Yes, dear. I'll make something up. It'll be fun. It'll be all silly. Right. It'll be crazy. We'll be happening. It'll be giddy. Hang up on me. Just hang up. Hang up the phone. No, you
giddy up. Hang it up. All right.
Click. Hang up.
Bye. Ciao.
Hang it up.
All right. Hang it up. See you. Bye. Bye.
Yeah. Click.